It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
That's a Friday sound, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
You've made it. You made it to the weekend.
I just call it right now. You did it. Just shut her down today.
It's 102. Just wave the white flag. Head out to that BYU spring game that's going to be going on here in a little bit. 3 o'clock kick for the BYU spring practice / game scrimmage is what they called it.
How many pulled groins and torn ACLs are we going to see today in the alumni game?
Are they going to play the alumni game, or did they cancel that?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know if they are going to play it or cancel it. I know that it's too cold for old men to be running around on a football field.
Yes, absolutely.
But you try to tell Ty Detmer he's not going to be playing, and he had his hopes set. He'll probably go out and play anyways. I would guess that they're going to play. Who knows, man? Kalani's a smart person. He came on with this yesterday, and Kalani's like, yeah, I'm not
touching that. And for good reason, too.
Yeah. I guess he tried to play last year in it. And
it's just like, nope.
He was very sore afterwards.
Because you want to play like he did when you were 20. And Kalani was a violent player when he was in his college career at BYU.
Well,
and if you can't play that same way, you don't want to do it.
And you deal with the different eras, so... The Bronco era happens to have a very competitive group of young men in it. I don't know if you know this.
They're not playing for fun.
Max Hall and Dennis Pitta and Austin Colley aren't going out there to play pitch and catch. And then you've got the Lavelle Edwards era. And that era should start to realize their age, but hasn't. And still thinks they might be able to go ball. And so you try to ball against the Bronco Mendenhall era, and you're going to be in trouble.
Because they've got about 20 years on you.
Yeah. They're
or
still
15.
They're still young and flexible. The Gary Croden era.
They're just glad to be there.
I was standing by, and I won't say his name because he was a crossover with me from the Lavelle Edwards era. I left with Lavelle. So I all 5 years with Lavelle.
Yeah.
But I had some crossovers with Lavelle and into Gary era. And I was at a practice not too long ago standing next to a guy that played in the Croton era. And he said, "Boy, I sure don't feel welcome here." I said, get over it. Relax.
Honestly, you couldn't have timed that out any better. I mean, you left. Now, granted, I know you guys didn't have the season you wanted that last year.
Yeah.
But you get a win for Lavelle, dramatic come from behind victory against Utah.
Yep.
You're right off into the sunset. And I know that next Croton year, the first Croton year was great. I mean, they won a bunch of games and were right there in the hunt of things down
shocked
the stretch.
All of us.
Yeah. And then it fell apart on him the last 2 years. But I think, you know, to not have any of the Gary Croton label on you is probably a good thing.
So
it's unfair to some guys, but it's good for you.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not fair for some. And for some reason, they feel there are players of that era that just don't feel as embraced. It's like, stop it. Just relax. Don't let that get in the way. Go back. Tell Jack DeMooney you want to be on the alumni team game, and you'll be fine. He'll take care of you. He'll throw you a T-shirt. You're going to be loved.
I would like to see this broken up into teams, though. The Lavelle team, the Bronco team, the Kalani team, and now the Croton team.
I would not want to take on a Bronco team right now.
No.
You those guys are still priming out. Brian Kill is still a prime athlete.
Kyle Van Noy is still in the league. Like that's not that long ago.
It's not that long ago. And, you know, go to Johnny Harling. Johnny Harling is one of the freakiest athletes I've ever met in my life.
People forget about that.
He is so freaky. I had him play in that flag football game I put together for a couple of years for charity.
Yeah.
Where we would do a Utah team and a BYU team. And Harling played in it. And he was just insane how athletic that guy is. So and those guys all are in great shape. I'm picturing like a Lavelle Edwards team. Man, we're all hitting our late 20s now. You know, we're going to be dipping into our 30s.
Hey, yeah. I mean, come on. There's some of you in your 30s. Let's just call it like it is.
Some, but that would be like we're talking national championship team and such. Got to go back a ways for that.
Just a minute.
But it's going to be fun.
I do think you bring up a good point, though. Like, you know, again, Bronco wasn't perfect, but one thing Bronco found a way to do was to identify and cultivate an insane level of competitivism in his players.
He really did. He did. Austin Colley will chew through metal. He'll chew through you on a route. He is a nasty route runner. And if he could have stayed healthy, he'd had a 10-year NFL career.
Yeah. All right, joining us now, he is the great Craig Bowler. Jack, kind enough to carve out a few moments for us. Bowler, how the heck are you?
Hey, I'm good. Scotty Hands, hello from Boston.
Oh, in Boston. That's right. Yeah.
What's the hot spot for you? You go hit some clam chowder?
Yeah, you know, we did. Last night, Trav and our team, our producer, we found this little off the beaten path. For chowder and lobster rolls.
I was going to say, if you're going chowder, you got to get lobster rolls too in Boston.
Did it all last night. So we all huddled there at this a little table, kind of a little building, had a little lighthouse. You know. Of course, it tastes of Massachusetts, it tastes of Boston. So, yeah, it was really good. We always like to try to go outside the realm of big name restaurants. It's fun to kind of find the local establishments, and that's what we try to do. It was really good. We had a home run on it last night.
That's one thing, and granted, you've been there pretty much every year Trav's been there, but people don't know Travis Henderson, one of the more highly thought of, if not the most highly thought of NBA producer in the league, and that dude knows where to go. He's got all the spots.
He does. Yeah, Olympic producer, all-star producer, does the world feeds on the NBA finals. He's top level. Lucky to have him.
Yeah.
Hey, Buller, I wanted to bring up the other night, Utah Jazz get a win over San Antonio. You're sitting there, you're calling the game, you're watching THT start to heat up. What were your thoughts? Everything he's putting in the air starts falling, and he walks off the court with 41 points.
You know, he's an interesting guy. I remember the day I met him back in September when Media Day was launched. And, you know, yeah, he's got a ring with the Lakers. He came in at 19. And he just said, look, yeah, I've got a championship. Doesn't mean anything. Maybe I've got some, you know, the playoff experience and understand it. But what I want to become, I've done nothing. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. I thought Ochai said kind of the same words after after he won a national championship last year with Kansas and, you know, was the most outstanding player of the Final Four. It really tells you a lot, Hans, I think, about both those players and THT as well. Just the focus they continue to have. And they want to grow. They want to be, I think, their own man. Talen's young. Ochai's really young and, you know, inexperienced. But they're gaining valuable minutes as this season continues on. Man, there's six games to play. And the Jazz still have a shot at a play-in, you know, and you have the Lakers twice down the stretch. So, you know, shoot around this morning, the attitude still is the same. I mean, you know, go win. And I think that's kind of what it's been like from day one. You know, as we talked throughout the year, there was so much talk about could they win 20. Well, they've won 36. And, you know, they're trying to, you know, they could be a 40-win team by the time it's all said and done. And that's remarkable, to be totally honest. And it also tells you the growth, Hans, of a Talen Horton Tucker who was given the reins after the trade with Conley. And, you know, there were some times you sat there and go, wow, maybe this isn't the position for him. But slowly, the turnovers are still there. But I think the gaining of confidence is well known, and we can see it game by game by game. What he did the other night was incredible. 27 at the half, 41 overall, spinning, dunking. He's a powerful guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at him, you go, whoa. And everyone just kind of is enthralled with his ability to control the big body and the way he can feel pressure and spin left, right, and just go at the rim. And he's improving slowly, you know, little by little each game from the three-point line. So, yeah, it's been fun to watch. He's nearly 10 points a game. The assists are closing in on 4 a game. So for a guy that's learning a position, I think we've seen a lot of growth the last 4 to 6 weeks.
How much is he loving this situation, too, where he's getting 32 minutes a night?
You know, I think that's why Danny and Justin Zanuck made all these moves. So obviously to sift through what was and what will be. And if he stays at this position, maybe. Is there another spot he may fit better? Most likely. But you just don't know. With Colin Sexton still out, in the way that they're playing out, Clarkson, look, Markkanen, I don't know if they have shut them down. They're around, but they do take part in, you know, workouts. But I think what you're seeing is an opportunity for a Horton Tucker, an Ochai, a Walker Kessler, a Chris Dunn, a Johnny Juzang, getting valuable minutes in the latter part of the season that will only put them ahead of schedule for their summer workouts and for when fall camp opens. And you can't replicate, you know, T and Booner always talk about, you know, when you sit on the bench, you can maybe learn a little bit about the game and watching, you know, the vets do their work. But practice minutes are nothing like NBA minutes. And that's what, you know, these guys are getting right now, which I think puts them ahead of schedule. I really do.
Well, I think that a lot of us, and I'm sure you can't go anywhere, you can't fill up a tank of gas without somebody saying, hey, Bowler, tell those guys to lose. Come on, we got to lose some games.
I've heard that a few times.
And I understand it, and Hans and I have had fun with it on the air, but also, too, to take the devil's advocate in this whole thing, like, you don't want to develop losing habits. And these guys probably aren't going to the playoffs. That's my speculating, not yours, but the chances are pretty slim. But they haven't, throughout the course of this year, develop losing habits that are really hard to break when you're trying to turn this thing around.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Look, Ainge won as a player, Ainge won as a general manager. And I think, you know, that's who he is. I mean, he's a two sports star at BYU, went on to play, you know, professional baseball, made the switch to the NBA, tough guy, competitor. I think that just bleeds over to the way the Jazz are approaching this. You know, Justin Zanuck, we've had a couple of private discussions as a group this year, and the one thing he said, you know, look, make this public, is that there was no preconceived, you know, plan of how this was going to go. And, you know, as the season's gone on, I think he's held true to those words. Go play. And if you win, you win. San Antonio is a good example. They've come out. They beat the Jazz twice. And the Spurs are in a position now to be, you know, top three in the draft. And the Jazz, you know, had trouble with San Antonio. They went out and played, too. But they made trades and moved players. You know, even Jakob Poeltl moved on back to Toronto. And so they're making room for their future. And I think the Jazz, again, are making room for their future. But also, to your point, Scotty, is that it's an evaluation process, right? So to really go high level, you really have to know who fits, who doesn't, and who has value. And this is the tough part of the business. If they have value to bring a player that's better, right? Or a combo package of player and a draft pick. And the Jazz are also going to be a big player with and they could be in free agency because they have the cap space for it, you know, reportedly $60 million or so. So it's going to be – we say this every summer, if summer ever gets here, because I hear it's snowing again in Salt Lake. But when it does come, again, another intriguing offseason. Last year was unbelievable. I'm sure this summer may even match that or go above and beyond that with all the possibilities that Ainge and Justin Zanuck have at their disposal.
Well, let's go through the injury report tonight. You got Kelly Olynyk, who's listed as questionable with a non-COVID illness. I'm going to get your thoughts on that really quick. You got Lauri Markkanen out with a left hand contusion. Jordan Clarkson out with left hand fourth finger sprain. Rudy Gay out with lower back soreness. And Colin Sexton out with left hamstring strain. You think Kelly Olynyk plays as questionable non-COVID illness tonight?
Yes. He's available, Hans. Available. And you know what? He's coming back to a place that he played, you know, for 2013 to 2017. So 4 years in Boston. One reason why I think Danny Ainge brought him in and all the movement in the offseason. He was the last guy that really came in. And, you know, Ainge knew what he was getting. And I think he's been a great addition. He's that blue-collar, hardworking player, a little Joe Ingles type of, you know, play, not the fastest in the group, but yet is savvy with the way he plays and gets his teammates involved and knocks down threes. So, yeah, I expect to see him on the floor tonight, which only strengthens, I think, the Jazz potential here tonight. Boston's beat up. They played last night. I understand they flew in this morning. I'm not sure what the reasons were officially, but they had a blowout win against the Bucks last night by 41. I mean, just unbelievable. We'll see what they decide who plays tonight. I've got a list here of players that are doubtful, questionable, and those things have to be relayed onto the NBA. But, you know, a lot of times those situations finalize themselves after guys go through warm-ups, and we'll have to wait and see what the final tally will be when we get to the arena.
So you got Boston, as we've talked about, and this is a Celtics team that's obviously a really good team, and I got to imagine didn't like losing to the Jazz at Vivint. It should be a fun one tonight.
No, it should. You know, whoever plays, I think they remember that happened just about 2 weeks, almost to the date, in a thriller, 118-117. So the Jazz got the win, the beat then. You know, they had those two back-to-back wins against Sacramento and Boston, both at the time number two in the West, number two in the East. Sacramento's dropped, I think, to three, but Boston's holding steady. Got the big win last night, and they're two games behind the Bucks. So, you know, you get that number one seed in the East. You know, you can do a lot of things with home court throughout. So I would think they'd want to play. A loss, you know, would set them back some. Two games, two and a half behind the Bucks with a loss. A win would pull them a little closer. So, you know, at shoot-around this morning, the Jazz were about comfortable, confident, and they should be. You know, there's a lot of guys playing some good basketball right now. I mean, Chris Dunn included. And the new guy that we got in, first time we were able to see Luka Šamanić. And he's got some ability. So the Jazz keep adding a piece or two and wanting to take a look at what they've got and who could be a part of the future for this team.
I saw that Boston-Milwaukee game. I can't remember what network it was, but I saw it and flipped onto it, watched the first half. And I want to say Milwaukee was down, and I don't know if you got to see it, but I want to say they were down 24, 27 points at the half to Boston. Boston just came out and thumped them. Jason Tatum was like throwing these air hooks from half court. Nothing would miss. It was unbelievable. At one point, I want to say Boston was 58 or 60% from three, and Milwaukee kind of threw their hands in there and thought, whatever. And I don't know what Milwaukee's intention was, but they didn't look like they came in to compete on that one. When you look at the, go ahead, Bowler.
I just, and it's strange too at home, right? This is a road win in Milwaukee for the Celtics. And I'm just looking back at the numbers I've got on my card, my sheet for tonight. Yeah, they hit 22 three-pointers last night. And the duo of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum dropped 70 on those guys. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, they did throw up their hands. I look at the highlights and I go, wow. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Tatum goes for 40 and drops 8 threes. It's a remarkable team. They're deep, and boy, they're talented.
Yeah. So was that a Eastern Conference flex last night by Boston? And did Milwaukee flinch?
Well, that'll be interesting to watch from here on out. I mean, you know, to get beat at home like that, not by a last-second shot, you can, you know, put that and understand it, but by 41, you have to scratch your head and go back and say, hey, what happened here? Because you're going to see them again if you're on your way to an NBA championship. And when we saw the Bucks last week, at the time, I thought they were the deepest team in the league. And then you look at a 41-point home blowout, and you scratch your head and say, what's going on? But that's life in the NBA, too, Hans. I mean, the Jazz have been pretty consistent throughout this year. And I think that's one thing the fans have really kind of bought into is how competitive they are. And, you know, there's been blowouts, but very few. Let's just say much fewer than I think a lot of fans expected this year without Donovan and Rudy and then the trade that, you know, sent Mike Conley as well to Minnesota. So, yeah, it's the life in the NBA is so strange. I mean, the 82 games, you know, you forget them fast, but one game may play into the final standings or your mentality on how you approach your next contest when you see them again. I'm guessing the Jazz are confident. They looked it. They sounded like it today because they beat this team 2 weeks ago. And I'm thinking the Bucks are probably reeling a little bit going, whoa, what just happened? So with only, you know, a week and a half left in the season, right now you think the guys want to be more playoff tuned, but a lot of players maybe are thinking, well, I'm tired. Let's get through this and then I'll hit the reset button. Sometimes hitting the reset button is tough to do.
No doubt about that. Craig Bowler, Jack joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Bowler, I had K-State in my Final Four. I'm sorry. I thought they'd be there.
Yeah, I know you did. Uh-huh.
I did. Yeah. Absolutely. I was Team Wildcat. Let's go.
Hands, oh, no, hands was able to get me a final your
bracket.
Your picks, and I didn't see the bracket. I didn't think it worked out that way. Got it. Hey, I love you though, man, for saying that. But you know, K-State had a great getting into the Elite Eight. That team was picked dead last in the Big 12. So to have a chance, applaud. And because those are, you know, the Final Four, I'm not sure how ratings are going to be because there's no big dog in the show, right? And so it's really what the whole tournament is about is to let Cinderella continue to live on. And someone's going to be really crowned that when it's all said and done on Monday night of next week.
So you got Final Four tipping off tomorrow. It's going to be a 4 o'clock tip on CBS. It's at Energy Stadium in Houston, Texas. San Diego State is a 2.5-point favorite over 9-seed Florida Atlantic in the opener.
Yeah.
UConn is a 5-point favorite over number 5-seed Miami in the evening game. What do you see happening? Who do you expect to be the finalists?
Well, since Florida Atlantic beat K-State, I'm going to go Florida Atlantic and UConn. I'm not sure that's a real sexy pick, but that's just kind of the way it is. And I'm anxious to see, you know, how the rating.
You there? Hello, Craig. I think we lost him. Yeah, it's all right. We'll let him go. We probably kept him on a little too long anyway. But there you go. Craig Bowler, Jack, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Can't get any better than that. We're all better people for being able to talk to Bowler.
No question about it. Lowest seed to ever win the NCAA tournament was
Villanova.
Eight seed.
Villanova. 85?
8 seed Villanova in 19. You were close. 85. Oh, wait, no. You were right on. You know those tournaments, man.
Love me some NCAA tournament. Hey, that conversation with Craig Bowlerjack brought to you by Mountland Supply, locations throughout Utah for all your HVAC, plumbing, waterworks, landscape, and agricultural irrigation needs. Check them out at MountlandSupply.com.
So you've had a couple of 8 seeds make it. 2022 saw number 8 seed North Carolina make it to that national championship game. Lost to Kansas. It was number 1 seed Kansas. Lost them 72-69, but pushed the tempo. And, yeah, you got to go back to 1985. Villanova over...
It was Georgetown. It was Patrick Ewing.
That is correct.
Yeah.
66-64, two-point game.
Yeah.
So this could be the first 9 seed in NCAA tournament history to go out there and win it. That'd be pretty fun. That's what I'm hoping for at this point because I want storylines. And a 9 seed Florida Atlantic turning the NCAA tournament on its head and reeling off wins against 8 seed Memphis, 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson, 4 seed Tennessee, 3 seed Kansas State, 5 seed San Diego State before undoing whoever it is, UConn in the finals or whatever. It'd be a pretty fun run.
San Diego State's going to play in a championship game against UConn. That's how it's going to play out.
You think San Diego State?
Yes. Yeah. And I think Utah.
Florida Atlantic.
I do. And I think UConn is the better team. But San Diego State on any given day can beat anybody because of that defense.
Would San Diego State making it to the NCAA tournament finals be the greatest accomplishment in San Diego State history?
Yeah.
By a mile.
I mean, what else does San Diego State have?
Dennis Dodd.
Yeah, it is a surging program, but again, you know, maybe Marshall Faulk played there and that's about it. Like, there's no Mount Olympus of San Diego State achievements.
But this one.
I know, this is remarkable.
Making it to a tournament final?
Yeah. I mean, David James is probably in his car like, well, in 1962, the men's volleyball team won the NIAI National Championship. I'm sorry, DJ. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. That was an attack. You really went after him right there.
Hey, they got after me hard. Jake Hatch calls me up. He's like, hey, the guys want to talk to you. I'm like, all right, I'll hop on. And then, boom, it was like, how dare you besmirch the good name of the city of San Diego and its wonderful university.
They blindsided you?
Oh, a total blindside.
Those turkeys. I was on with them this morning.
I know, and they treated you lovingly.
Well, I answered. I said, oh, good morning. How are the legends? PK goes, DJ is doing fine. DJ goes, don't start with us. I'm like, oh, okay. Here we go.
All right, 128. Hands and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for another edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hey, are you a business owner? Well, you have better things to do than just to Job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire, let Sphereon Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Visit them online at Sphereon.com or just send a DM to Tim Lacombe. He is the job father.
Were you researching the NCAA tournament this morning, or do you just know those things?
No, I just know that one because that is like the pinnacle of upsets.
Like the historical.
Like if you were to ask me who won the 87, I think it was actually Syracuse. No, Syracuse 86, Kansas 87. Anyway, I'm a little bit of a nerd on the NCAA tournament, but I do know Villanova, Georgetown. And that was one of the biggest upsets in the history of the NCAA tournament.
I knew that you knew NCAA tournaments. I'm just wondering if I'm tapping into a savant on it.
No, like, no, not that much.
Because you even knew the score and
I didn't know the score.
Beat them and
it was Georgetown.
Who played and.
And also a crazy story, if you want to read into it a little bit more, and I forgot the guy's name, but the starting point guard, I believe the MVP, came out later and said that he was high on cocaine during the game.
For Villanova?
For Villanova, yeah. And he's since passed.
That would have been the time.
Yeah.
The late 80s and into the 90s.
And a lot of his former teammates never talked to him again because they really felt like he... He came out in a Sports Illustrated story and admitted it and kind of diminished what the team did and really kind of put a bad light on the whole thing.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer. But NCAA tournament tipping off tomorrow. So are you like locked and loaded for Final Four action tomorrow?
Sure,
you
absolutely.
Go from 4 until about 8:30
or
9?
Yeah, I'm all in on it. You know, I'll have a little picture-in-picture with conference and the conference is the one without any sound on it. I'm kidding.
Jeez, that was a rough joke. You'll record it.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's post-conference.
It's the beauty of the DVR.
Tips of 4.
Yeah, but you're supposed to have like that 6 o'clock thing.
Oh, that's right. You'll record that.
Yeah.
You'll get that in.
Yeah.
But Final Four action tipping off tomorrow.
Me and my dad, I mean, I just get so mad at my dad growing up. It's like, put the toy on, go to the... Steakhouse. I'm like, oh, I want to just NCAA tournament. Let's go. Come on. Get in the car. Make me put a size 11 cowboy boot up your rear end.
And you put your tie on.
And I put my tie on.
And yep. You went.
Yeah.
Because that's what we did when our dad said.
Because I was scared of my dad.
I just needed to be leveraged with food. That's it. All right. We'll get a sundae.
We'll get some ice cream after.
Yeah. But it was really hard to make sense of it on a Saturday.
I know, right? Absolutely.
Why was it so hard as a young kid to make sense of putting on a shirt and tie on a Saturday?
Yeah. And, again...
It felt like an impossibility.
You're either missing college football or you're missing the Final Four. One of the two.
Yeah. Or, in my case, where I wasn't a sports fan when I was younger, because I was so pudgy and just loved food... I was missing hanging out with Garth Woodruff and creating firebombs.
Who's Garth Woodruff?
Oh, he's my old childhood friend.
Okay, whoa.
Huh?
What are firebombs? We've already talked about bombs on my end. Let's got to talk about yours.
I really don't think I can even talk about it because we got in a little bit of trouble for mentioning other things, and I don't want to mention.
Oh,
this.
So apparently we can talk about pipe bombs. But we can't talk about firebombs.
No, because I don't want to give anybody, any kids, any suggestions.
I guess I probably should have thought of that.
It's not as brutal or violent as you think it is. It's not. It is extremely dangerous. In fact, Garth's brother caught his leg on fire.
Oh, your blue dartens?
Suffered. No.
Oh, okay.
Suffered severe damage. No, that wasn't that one. No. Not blue darts. No. These are more dangerous than blue darts.
Okay.
But, yeah, Garth and I got in a little bit of trouble back in the day. That's so funny. When you were younger, though, you were NCAA tournament?
Yeah. I lived and died with that stuff.
Or opening day, watching some baseball.
No, not baseball, but NCAA tournament and football in the fall. Yeah, I was glued to as much as I could watch back in the day.
That is funny.
Look, there's a little thing when... When you love sports, but you're not particularly good at it, you have to absorb it in other ways.
You watch it, yeah. A lot of it. I don't know. My sports love It really started after I retired. You know, my first years in sports radio, I had zero idea. Like I casually watched some Utah Jazz. Do you know one of the hardest things for me when I jumped into this occupation so many years ago? It was finding the love for basketball, finding the love for the Utah Jazz, and getting going. Understanding it, learning it, covering it. That was hard.
Well, and that's what I tell a lot of people that, oh, I want to get in this business. I'm like, you have to find a way to watch every game. Now, you don't necessarily have to watch it live. Like, there'll be times where I'll have things like, you know, that I've got to do, but, and so you don't watch it live, but God bless the DVR. I'm either watching it in the office or I'm watching it the next morning or something like that. But the amount that you have to consume, and I know somebody out there's like, oh, it's really hard so life you're doing. But I'm just saying, like, that's something you have to do. And I don't think everybody watches every single second of every single Utah Jazz game.
Yeah. No, it's an investment.
Yeah.
The thing that helped me, and this is why I speak so highly of Jerry Sloan as I do, I had bumped into Jerry when I came back to play professional football back here in the state. I'd bumped into Jerry at a couple of charitable events. And then when I left football, went into radio, I was standing in the hall during a media scrum with Jerry at the garbage can.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I went up to Jerry and I said, tell me about this stupid game. Give me a reason to like it. What's this all about? And Jerry sat there and gave me a really hard time, joked around a ton, told me I wouldn't be any good at it, told me my Uncle Merlin was really good at it.
Yeah.
And between him and Phil Johnson, they helped me fall in love with the game. But he started with the physical side of the game, and I love that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was Paul Millsap was still just getting his footing, but Paul Millsap was the grinder and hustler. Jerry loved Paul Millsap, man. He loved Paul Millsap.
Which was the biggest player that ever diminished the notion that Jerry Sloan doesn't play rookies. No, he plays rookies that play hard.
Yeah.
And if you're an entitled rookie, like Darren Williams was his first year, then Milt Palacio is going to start ahead of you. But if you're willing to grind and work hard and take whatever role is given to you and you're talented, then yeah, you're going to play.
He was so good to kind of jump in and help me with basketball. That was where I started to fall in love with basketball. And what's crazy, because of his passion and his love for it and willingness to share it with me, and then me being able to watch it from some of the areas he told me to watch from, then I fell in love with it. Now I'm an NBA nut.
Yep.
Like I was mentioning that Boston game that was on last night. That game was wild. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. In fact, I should go find what it was, because I think it was 27 or 28 points at the half. And I finally turned it because I could tell Milwaukee was throwing their hands in the air. Let's see. So it was
140-99 was the final. At half, it was 75-47.
75-47.
At the half, yeah.
At the half. And I was like, jeez, Louise, man. Boston looked really good. But it was one of those nights, and as Bowler Jack mentioned, it was on the road. That was in Milwaukee. And I thought we were going to be watching the two powerhouses in the East flex and get ugly with each other. Instead, we saw Boston flex hard, and we saw Milwaukee pull their starters.
Yeah. Boston was 22-43 from three. 51% from three on 43 attempts. That's pretty good.
Dropping 22 threes in a night. Who comes out of the East?
I still think Milwaukee does. Although I know that I took Boston when we made our predictions with Coach Lacombe, but that was because Lloyd wrestled Milwaukee away from me. But I still think it'll be Milwaukee.
That's right. You got Phoenix, Boston. I've got Golden State, the Bucks. I still have Golden State coming out of the West. That might be a mistake. Now that Kevin Durant is back, they got themselves on a three-game win streak. You know what? We're good, bad, and ugly, aren't we?
Yeah.
Hey, let's hit the bad, because actually the bad pertains to what we saw with Phoenix.
All right, we're skipping the good. Let's get right to the bad.
Now the bad.
So for those of you that didn't get to see it the other night, Minnesota Timberwolves, who were on a nice little winning streak, took on the Phoenix Suns, who were on a nice little winning streak, and Rudy Gobert got the bad end of the calls. Rudy Gobert was getting all kinds of calls. He was whistled for 5 fouls during the game. He had 4 offensive fouls in the second half of that game alone. And the Timberwolves at one point had a double-digit lead. Phoenix comes back and gets the win because Rudy has to start playing tentative, and Phoenix goes and gets the win. Here's Rudy's comments. And it's crazy because people dismiss this, but think about if anybody in a business was chirping about the integrity of what holds the business together.
Yep.
And I'm not saying I don't like it, but this is what Rudy said. It's not fair. It's really not fair. Every night, I've been in this league for 10 years, and I try to always give the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard for me to think they're not trying to help them win. It's hard for me to think they didn't try to help the Warriors win the other night or Sacramento the other night. It's just obvious. He had me at Golden State. I don't know if he had me at Sacramento. He said, as a basketball player that's been in this league for this long, it's disrespectful and it sucks, to be honest. We work so hard to be in a position to compete with the best, and we just get manipulated into those situations where it just impacts the game for the other team too much. They know how to do it. They do it in a lot of different ways. Tonight was another way of doing it. But it's all good. We understand that it's a business. Unfortunately, it's sad, but it's also good. It's really good, but it's true. We understand that we're not the biggest of the markets, and we're a team that I think you want to see Kevin Durant in the playoffs, Steph Curry in the playoffs. You want to see LeBron James in the playoffs. The Timberwolves are not there yet. Scotty, if you got a player that's insinuating.
By the way, that's going to cost him $35,000.
A minimum, don't you think?
Yeah. And the thing that's going to really get Adam Silver upset is that he echoes all the comments of everybody. Look, here's Rudy Gobert, who's played the majority of his career with the Utah Jazz. And now with Minnesota, both teams that have had really good teams, like Minnesota, when they're healthy and Cat's out there on the court, they're a really good team. But he's saying, look, I've been on good teams and we've gotten hosed on calls before. And now I'm on Minnesota and the same thing's happening again. People don't want us to see us make deep runs in the playoffs.
Well, the way Rudy Gobert's got to be looking at it is Minnesota's right on that cut line.
Yeah. Yep.
Nobody wants to play in the play-in tournament. You want to get a 6-5, 4-3, 2, or 1 seed. You do not want to be in the 7, 8, 9, or 10. Now, if you're in the 7 seed, you got to win 1 game.
That's it.
And you lock. If you're in the 8, you got to win 2. 9, you got to win 2. 10, you got to win 2 to lock. And you don't want to be in that play-in situation. Well, Golden State is right there on that line. Phoenix didn't really need the win. Phoenix is sitting there in the 4th spot. But still, Phoenix could fall into that play-in tournament. But I could see Rudy Gobert feels like the officials are trying to keep Minnesota in the play-in and keep Golden State out of the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels so conspiracy theory-ish. I do wonder if one complaint leads to another, and they start to feel confidence in group mentality.
Yeah.
Because this, like you mentioned, this is not the first time we've heard now a player really go hard at the officials.
Who was the player that went after the individual official and called him out by name? I can't believe I'm spacing it, but, and he was fined $35,000, and he went specifically not at the integrity of the game, or the integrity of the league.
It wasn't Draymond, was it?
No, but over one individual official who said, he hates me, and he's always out to get me.
Was it Fred Van Vliet?
I think it was Fred Van Vliet. Good job, Christian. By the way, Lloyd's out again. Again.
Do you really, I don't want to draw attention to it. That's his 34th vacation day he's taken since January 1.
Hey, man, we all work out our own agreements, man. Props to him.
Hey, it's like one of the old greats used to say, if you have them, take them.
That's Jim Rome line.
Yep.
I take a lot of vacation because I get a lot of vacation. Yeah,
if you have them, take them. And Lloyd does.
All right. We'll get to the ugly coming up maybe a little bit later. We'll put it on Sports Roulette. 149, Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Ream Medical, Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic, offering ED treatment, discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. Visit ReemMedical.com today, right here on the Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, had a few people reach out. Steve Clocky joined us an hour ago. B's game is supposed to start at 1 o'clock. As of right now, still delayed. I imagine you'll receive word on this here pretty soon.
That's a bummer. Sorry to all the B's fans waiting for
that. Letting people in. You can go in and grab yourself a dog. Maybe stand around in the concourse a little bit.
That'll get you warm. Throw a little chili on it.
Get that dog in you.
Yeah. There's plenty of good food across that concourse. Have they gotten innovative recently?
Well,
we haven't had the food tray brought in.
I know. A couple of years ago, they brought the food tray up to the studio and said, this is what we're doing this year. I would like that again. Mark Amicone, if you're listening.
That was great.
Swing that tray on by. Mm-hmm. Talk about all the new food you have there. All right. So do you like the peppers and onions on your dog?
I love the peppers and onions on my dog. Yeah. I'll take it on dogs, but if I can, I'd love it. Rather have it a bratwurst. I like peppers and onions on a brat. Even more than I like it on a dog.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you prefer,
I know you're a big relish fan. I'm not like a sweet relish.
Do you prefer a brat over dog?
Oh, yeah.
Every time?
Yeah. Every time. Yeah. Every time.
Well, hopefully they can get that thing kicked off here pretty quick. Whole world news today, Scotty. Columbia's got a real problem on their hands. Going back about 5 years ago, do you remember talking about the Pablo Escobar hippos?
Oh, yeah.
So the hippos continue to reproduce.
Uh-oh.
And they've got a real problem on their hands. They've got 130 hippos now that wander the area. They have put together some projections. 130 hippos can go to 1,400 in a very short period of time. So
quite the amorous hippos.
Yeah, because in Colombia, in Africa, there are a lot of predators that will take out a hippo. And hippos are pretty resilient.
Yeah.
There's not a ton that can take out a hippo. But when things get hungry, you can take down baby hippos and hippos. They don't have that in Colombia. Hippos go wander and can do anything they want. So the Colombian government – oh, and let me back up just a little bit. For those of you that don't know what the Pablo Escobar hippos are, back in the mid-1980s, when Pablo Escobar was at his height of the Colombian drug ring, he illegally imported a handful of hippos into his compound.
A little sanctuary he had.
The Colombian police ended up killing him in 1993, and when they killed him – His compound was abandoned, and these hippos broke out and got into the water systems and started reproducing. So mid-1990s, these hippos started having babies. Well, now it's going to cost the Colombian government about $3.5 million to round up these hippos and to transplant them. They're going to send 60 of the hippos to India. They're going to send 10 of the hippos to Mexico. I don't know what they're going to do with the other 150 or so.
But oh, boy. Tree birds showing up down there.
You don't shoot hippos, man.
Don't tell that to Treebeard, man.
You don't shoot. Okay, so you know what's crazy? Out of all the hunting pictures, we've seen people take giraffes.
Yeah.
Rhinos. Lions. Have you ever seen somebody
standing over a downed hippo? No, I have not.
I have not either.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you shoot hippos. You don't harm a hippo.
Treebeard, our buddy Tony Abbott, who I think has hunted every animal on the planet.
Oh, yeah. He's Tristan off of Legends of the Fall when he comes back from the...
Yeah.
And he's yelling.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he will hunt and take down anything. You say put him in a tree stand?
Yeah.
Give him a little Colombian money? Tell him he's got 130 hippo problem?
It would take quite the rifle to bring down a hippo.
Imagine, yeah, it would. Imagine instead of deer in your backyard, you got hippos, though.
Well, I just look at the deposits left by the deer. I can't imagine what my lawn's going to look like when those guys come through.
Well, and that's the problem that Columbia has. They got to get rid of the hippos. But it's going to cost them $3.5 million. They can't just go kill the hippos. They have to
trank them and
transplant them. Yep. I want to get in the hippo transplant.
Yeah.
Porting business, because that's, if I can make that kind of money.
Imagine if you're just minding your own business grazing there in Colombia, and you wake up the next day and you and nine of your buddies are hanging out in India. You're like, whoa, what just happened here?
Or you drop me in Zimbabwe and I'm looking like, that's a lion.
There's predators here. What did you just do?
I had it all good, man. All the cocaine we could eat.
I'm telling you, you got to go watch Cocaine Bear.
No, you told me not to watch it.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. I enjoyed it. I don't think you would like it. Although part of me does want you to watch it just so that I can get your opinion on it.
Okay, but is it way dumb?
It's...
Because I like way, way dumb.
No, it's ridiculously dumb. To the point where it's like, it's kind of good.
I might give it a try, but I do hate green screen. Is there even a real bear involved in
that
movie?
I think the bear is fake. And the bear, that's the one thing where they really scrimped on the budget on this thing. The bear looks fake, like, all the time.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. What's the guy that lived in Utah that had, like, the bear that was in every movie?
Well, he had a couple bears. One was named Tank.
Yeah.
And one was named Bart.
Oh, that's right. Bart. Okay. Yeah. I remember Bart. Yeah.
Bart the bear. From what I understand, that guy passed. I think that his bear ranch is all moved out. But it used to be in near Heber.
Well, let's just say I don't think there was a live bear that was used in this movie.
Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah, Bart and Tank. I knew some people that knew that guy. I really wanted to go wrestle with the bears. I'm glad I chose not to.
There is a, you know, when you go down, and you and I have been both guilty of this because we'll send each other random Instagram videos. But, you know, you get stuck and you're just scrolling through stuff. I found this Instagram account of this bear, or these people that own this bear in, like, Russia. And all, or I don't know, somewhere in that area. And I have to, you know, you click on like the translate button because all the things are posted in Russian.
Yeah.
But there's like this bear that is so domesticated that people will come and they will have like their wedding photos with the bear. Or they will take glamour shots with the bear.
It just takes one bad day for the bear. That's it.
I want so badly
one
to see
one bad day for the bear.
Hey, I got to show you this account. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
A little bit of breaking news coming down. Rudy Gobert.
Let me guess. Let me guess. I'm going to stick with 35.
Very close. 25.
Oh, wow.
They went a little lighter than I would have thought.
Yeah, I thought it would have been a little bit more than that.
Here's the thing. He's going after the integrity, the fabric of what keeps the NBA intact.
Yeah. 25K is nothing for Rudy Gobert.
No.
Nothing.
And he did not shy away from really handling
it. What happens if, as you mentioned, you see a collective effort where you see a lot of players collectively start to rise up and start talking about this?
This is getting ugly already. There's three or four that have been very open and very vocal. And I want to say Fred VanVleet was fined more.
I think he was 35.
Because he went maybe after an individual, he did throw the name out and said, go look at it, see how many text this guy has assessed me. He did call out a guy by the name, but
he was just 30, so just five more.
But that's nothing when somebody's attacking the fabric.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if, you know, there's a certain level of integrity that we have to have here on this show and with Bonneville and KSL. If we started going after the fabric of our business model, somebody come in and say, no, 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 no. You'll be out of here.
Yeah.
You can't attack the fabric, what keeps us together.
Yeah.
Fair officiating in the world of professional sports is critical. And where professional sports have now got in bed with gambling, betting apps, they've got them in their own arenas. And you get enough players that start leaning into this, hey, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to believe it is, but it's not. Rudy Gobert was very forward with what he said. There was no mistaking it.
Yeah.
He said they want Golden State. It's obvious. They want LeBron. They want Kevin Durant. They want Steph Curry. It's obvious. I want to continue to play in this league and believe that it's fair, but it's not. If you're a business owner, Scotty, don't you say, wait a second, that... Hold on. There's some things we can handle. There's some things we can handle. Can't. Beating somebody up on the street, we'll handle it.
Yeah.
Fighting on the court, we'll handle it. But attacking the integrity of the sport and how it's officiated will ruin everything.
It is an issue that I think has actually really hurt the popularity of the league to a certain extent, is the notion that, and this goes all the way back to Magic and Bird and Jordan. Like, you really think Magic Jordan or Michael Jordan is going to lose an NBA Finals game, like, or NBA Finals series when he's playing the Jazz or when he's playing the Sonics or when he's playing, you know, whoever you want to throw in there, the Portland Trailblazers?
Not if the league knows what's good for them.
Exactly. And I think that is what's one of the things that's hurt the popularity of the league, because there's a lot of fan, like, you talk to any Jazz fan out there. When they're playing the Lakers in a seven-game series, when Boozer and Okur and Darren Williams are playing Kobe Bryant in his prime, you ask them, do you really feel like you have a chance in this series? You think you're going to get calls to go your way? And they're like, no, absolutely not. There is a element of people that feel like the NBA has got a WWE element to it.
That sucks.
And I don't think it's to that extreme, but I do think officials reward star players. Absolutely, they do.
I just think it's damaging, Scotty.
Yeah, and I think it has damaged the league, and I think it'll continue to damage the league. That's why parity is so great for a league.
Am I overstating the severity of what Rudy Gobert said?
No, but I do think it gets swept under the rug. I mean, you and I have had ESPN on the background. How much have we seen anybody address what Rudy said? I haven't seen anything pop up.
Here's a quote again. We work so hard to be in a position to compete with the best, and we just get manipulated into those situations where it just impacts the game for the other team too much. They know how to do it. They do it in a lot of different ways. Tonight was another way of doing it. And you know what it is?
Yeah.
Swaying the game.
Swaying the game. Fixing a game. It's rigged. He's saying games are rigged.
They know how to do it. They do it in a lot of different ways. Tonight was another way of doing it. We understand that we're not the biggest of markets, and we're a team that I think you want to see Kevin Durant in the playoffs, Steph Curry in the playoffs. You want to see LeBron James in the playoffs. The Timberwolves are not there yet. I've been in this league for 10 years. I try to always give the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard for me to think they're not trying to help them win tonight. These are quotes from Rudy. And if your business plan is to have some level of belief and integrity and not allow the fans to get too far into this conspiracy theory that it's fixed, I don't know, man. That's something you've got to nip in the bud. $25,000 is not going to do anything.
Not going to do it. No. All right, Hans and Scotty, Jeff Donovan with Get Your ERC Refunds. We'll be live with DJ and PK coming up on Monday. Make sure to join the show from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. the struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.